This episode of TMS is brought to you by you. That's right, you. Over at patreon.com/TMS. Show us your love today. That's patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, now it all makes sense.
Hong Kong brain goes missing.
Want a spider on your burger?
Who doesn't? I like turtles.
On your burger. Zucker burger. What? Sorry.
Want a spider on your Zuckerberger?
I couldn't. That was not on purpose. Zuckerberg's eyeballs are turning heads.
Major spoilers.
Trek nerd and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You are not the guy. You're not capable of being the guy. I had a guy, but now I don't. You are not the guy.
They are all that is man. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. Are my headphones on backwards? Hold on. No, something's weird in my left ear. I can't. I don't know what's happening. Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Morning Stream. It's Monday, April 16th, 2018.
There you go.
Yeah. You knew I'd get there.
Yeah, I didn't want to just give it to you.
No.
I thought I'd let you work for it a little bit.
Yeah, let me have my time to kind of work things out. It's good to be here, everybody. Welcome back to a brand new, fresh week of the show. We are precisely a week and a half away from, well, not precisely, but pretty close to that, away from our Vegas trip. Very excited to see you all there. I should get all your swag on Wednesday, which should be very exciting. Oh, Brian, I almost forgot.
Yes.
Not that I called you O'Brien. Stay in the engine room and beam me up.
I'm trying to pull her up, but I can't. I know that this is how Scotty talked and not how O'Brien talked, but...
Cole Meany's rolling in his grave. He's not even dead yet.
He's not even dead yet. This killed him, and now he's rolling
in his grave. Yeah, now he's rolling in his grave. So my nephew, I went to see last night because they have a new baby, which is totally great and everything because new babies are great. Little baby Ken is his name. They named him after his brother-in-law, Ken, who's my brother-in-law, Ken, which is the most boring name on the planet. So go ahead and just use Ken's name. Just kidding, Ken. He listens to the show, so I'm just teasing. But anyway, he gave me these Japanese thingamadiggers here.
Oh, look at that.
Now there's
looks like energy in a package.
Kind of. It's all gold, right?
Yeah.
Red. Yeah. Supposed to be, it says on the package, this is how you attract young girls. If you eat these, it says.
I mean, is that really what it says, or is that a translation? I mean, it feels like a very skeevy way to market your candy bar.
He speaks Japanese. His wife is Japanese. He's Korean-American, but he says that that's the translation, and that over there, that would mean nothing. It would be completely...
Implying that you're young, too.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. It's like, hey, youths... Eat one of these, and you'll be a youth forever, okay?
Because it dawned on me, by the way, last Saturday night we were at the Mammoth game.
Yeah.
Making it to the playoffs.
Always
fun. Local lacrosse team.
Yeah, always good.
And they played the song Shout. And, you know, we've all heard it. Ever since Animal House, that thing has been huge. Even before that, of course, by the Isley Brothers. But when Otis Shout. Day and the Knights played it in... not Tears for Fears, sorry.
Okay, that's what I'm in my head, it's going, shout, shout, let it all out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, yeah. You want to think, you know, you make me want to shout. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a line in there, I still remember... When you used to be 9 years old.
Oh, gosh.
And then when you start listening to that lyric, it's like, wait a minute. Okay, please, you know, maybe for the current age, all you have to do is just change the when you used to be 9 years to when we used to be 9 years old. And then it like feels like a completely innocuous song.
Yeah, I agree. When we were kids. How about that?
Yeah.
So you're starting to sound like freaking who's the flute playing the deal? He's always talking about sitting on a park bench eyeing little girls with bad intent.
Jethro Tull.
I can't even listen to that song, and I know they're not advocating such behavior, but they're illustrating
that is specifically
it
specifically about
it's about a pervy guy.
Yeah,
I can't enjoy your pithy flute work if you're gonna sing about a pervy man. Anyway, so the point is, what's the point? Oh, I'll
switch to Bungle in the Jungle. That's a good one.
That's a great song. I will be mailing this to you, and we'll try them on the show.
Man, it looks like all you'd have to do is just hold that in the air, and the power that is contained on that wrapper will propel it across the mountains to Arvada.
I wish I had a little string. I just go right out of my hand.
Looks like it would, exactly.
Yeah,
it's like awesome. Can't wait to try that.
Yeah, it's like a snitch. Anyway, so it's made by Choco Bar Japan, and that'll be coming soon. Thank you, Thatcher, my nephew, for that, and congratulations on your tiny little cute little baby.
Aww.
He's the cutest little guy, and he just sleeps and just grins at Kim, because Kim's like a snake charmer with babies.
Yeah.
So all she has to do is just hold him and make little faces at him, and they start doing their first words. I swear, parents must be pissed, because I feel like a lot of little babies, their first words or their first coos or their first smiles, they happen when Kim comes over and holds the baby. That's what happens every time, yeah. So it must just drive everyone nuts.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
She's the baby whisperer. And it's always been that way. But anyway, it was great to see them last night. Okay. Brian, remember my Christmas decoration neighbor? And we were all concerned as to why he stopped doing
that. Oh, right. Yeah, like he would do up this big thing every year. And then he stopped. He stopped doing up a big production kind of thing. And you guys were a little worried that he, you know, was failing health or something bad.
We didn't know what was going on. Then some people would try to check into him, and he wouldn't like talk to people. Like, it was real weird. And it used to be any holiday, and I mean any holiday, it didn't matter what, if it was even just sort of considered a kind of half a holiday, this guy would go out and turn his yard into a huge festive representation of said holiday. So if it was Arbor Day, there'd be a big tree motif thing, or if it did something more traditional like St. Patrick's Day, just green stuff and little goblin men, and or you know, whatever you do for St. Patrick's Day. There's no goblin men. What am I trying to say? Well, they're not goblins.
Elves.
Not elves. It's something else. What are they called?
Which people are you talking about?
Little tiny Irish guys.
Leprechauns. Leprechauns. I'm sorry. I thought you were still talking about Christmas.
No. Leprechauns for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes. Okay.
So I couldn't think of leprechauns. Tiny little goblin men.
Goblins. Well, you know, if that movie that we watch with Jennifer Aniston is to be believed, they're tiny little goblin men is right. That's accurate.
Exactly right. So anyway, it stopped. It just ended, and the neighborhood felt weird because we'd gotten used to this as a thing we just expected as a traditional thing that would happen. And all right, so that brings us current, and it hasn't done it for a while, and all of Christmas, all of last Halloween, nothing. Normally that place is decked out. I don't know what his power bill was, but it had to be astronomical, and it was just gone, done. So I'd kind of forgotten about it, and then I talked to his neighbor directly next to him. Now the backstory on this neighbor is it used to be the place where you went to get information about buying a house in the area. So it used to be like the big, I wouldn't call it a model home, although it kind of was, but it had offices in it, and that's where you'd go to meet with a real estate person.
Oh,
and
right. Sometimes they have those done like a little trailer, like a trailer that they pull up.
Right, exactly. Same kind of idea, except this was a permanent, beautiful, one of the larger homes on the street, just a very nice home converted to be like, here's the HOA home office kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then they sold that as a regular house to whoever, and the people that bought it, this very nice couple with these cute little kids, the Walkers, by the way, I don't want to give too much away here, but I love this. Mm-hmm. Their last name is Walker, and they have a kid named Luke, and they almost made his middle name, they almost middle named him Sky, for real.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so he's almost Luke Skywalker, but anyway.
Oh my God.
He's the cutest little kid. He's a really nice kid, too. And he's the one that tells me this. Man, I hope I'm not getting myself in trouble here by telling the story. But anyway, apparently what happened is when they moved in, it didn't used to have a fence. It was like a big open back space yard thing. And then for months, these guys had people come and knock on their door and go, yeah, I'm looking for trying to find information about the housing in the air. And they're like, no, this is a house now.
Just like thinking that it still is.
Yes. And some people, if they left their door unlocked by chance, some people were walking in.
And just browsing like, oh, I do like the layout. Yeah, yes, this layout, is nice. The setup is really nice in here.
Yeah, now I don't know why all the Star Wars toys are on the floor, but okay, whatever. I'll, you know, like they didn't understand that this was now a residence, so people are just walking in there. Yeah. So they did some things like you would normally do to a place like that. They put up a fence around the back so their kids had a nice, safe backyard to play in. And the minute the fence went up, things got weird, I guess, with the neighbor. Because, now stay with me here, because this might sound familiar. Turns out, decorator neighbor has, it's him, his wife, his ex-wife lives in the basement.
Oh, right.
Remember that? See?
Yes. Yeah.
And they have a dog.
It just sounds so creepy when you say it like that. His ex-wife lives in the basement.
She is ever watchful. But yeah, so there's that scenario, which is fine. Not really connected to this, but they have this big dog. And their previous way of living was to send the dog over to that open space that is now a real backyard and have it poop there. And then it would come home. So this was their own little personal dog toilet next door.
Golly,
interesting.
That sounds familiar. Hmm. Yeah. Huh.
Gee, I wonder if this is at all synonymous with another experience I've had. Weird. How strange. No, so anyway, he was when they put up the fence, very upset because he no longer had a personal dog toilet in the backyard.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Then there's a... Now, this part of this is conjecture on my part because I don't know this for sure, but we have a 10 p.m. noise ordinance in the area.
Okay, almost like a curfew, but like a...
Kind of. Right. You just can't be loud is all.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of hoity-toities around here that are like, hate it when there's kids up late and they're out there giggling, jumping on a tramp or something. And these, like I said, Luke and his brothers, they're these cool kids who are just having fun, living over there, playing or whatever. I think that they probably have been out a little later in the backyard and maybe made a little noise. So this guy puts up a camera on his property that aims directly over and down into the backyard of this neighbor with this nice widescreen little right there.
Holy crap. That feels like a complete and total invasion of privacy. It's not like a security camera of like, it's the front of my house, it's the back of my house. Like, basically, I'm just looking at my neighbor's backyard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's exactly right. That's what I thought. My first impression was, whoa, camera.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal? Like, not just creepy and weird, but also, I don't think that's legal. How can you aim a camera immediately into my yard there or my house or whatever? And who knows what that thing has on it as far as zoom capability and all that? Like,
night vision.
This all seems really weird.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's not illegal unless it's on their property. So if it hung over on their property, they'd have every right to go tear that thing down. Mm. But because it's on his, it's like a security camera. It's just...
Well, you know what I would do?
What?
I'd get a laser pointer and a stick and some duct tape.
Yes!
And I would plant the stick in the ground and I would tape the laser pointer so that it's pointing directly at that camera 24/7.
Exactly what I said. Well, not with the laser. That's a great idea. My idea was you like get a long stick with some goop on it or something and just like goop it up. And then,
oh, there you go. Well, no, but see, then you'd have to like reach over to their property. Then you are affecting their property.
Yeah. So I agree with you. This is a better idea. The laser pointer and the laser pointer in theory could be in the house, propped up somewhere in a window and just aim it right. Wait.
So this thing is even pointed to where they can see in the house, not just the backyard.
Nobody knows for sure because
we
can't see his end because he's not showing it to anybody. So he's got this thing up there, apparently. So these guys are, like, at war, these neighbors. And so part of this was, this is the part that really floors me. So all of that I've explained. People have disputes. You know, your thing was easy with Russian guys. Too much hassle, the tree.
Exactly.
But people...
It was just painfully slow and, you know...
Right.
We still have... I mean, that tree is still in their backyard, and it's still causing problems with our...
Well, it will forever, right? Because roots
are into that tree. Yeah.
Yeah, those roots are hideous. They just are bad.
Yeah.
But like I say, there's like this range of the kinds of problems you can have with neighbors with something very small and minor, all the way up to like this weird standoff. And the bottom line is, or kind of where we find ourselves right now, turns out the reason, as best anyone can tell, and again, he doesn't talk very much, so maybe this is everyone making up a story to fill in the gaps, but it seems like that's why he stopped decorating.
Hmm.
Because he thinks that's punishment to not decorate, because it's got nothing to do with his backyard, side yard. It's all front where he does it. So it has zero to do with that neighbor by doing that. But because of this dispute, he just stopped.
Take away your holiday joy.
Yeah. That's weird to me. That's weird.
I mean, I can see if you feel like you don't have any other card to play.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it could just be just a general, I'm pissed off about that, so here's my way around it kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. So I don't know. But anyway, I wanted to share it with people because it's weird and maybe people have some thoughts. And just would like to restate for the record, this kid, Luke, is the coolest kid. I swear he's going to be like a stand-up comedian or something. He makes me laugh every time I see that kid. Really? He says something really funny every time. He is a hoot, that boy. He's like, if you say, I don't know, you just make some reference, and he'll figure out a way to make some ironic joke about it. It really is like having...
Really?
It's like seeing, I don't know what he is, like 10. It's like seeing a 10-year-old...
Brian Regan
Gaffigan
or something. Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, that's I feel like if that's what he wanted to do, he could totally be a comedian one day. But anyway.
Hope he's able to hold on to that.
Yep. Luke Skywalker.
Luke-ski.
There you go. Anyway, they're an awesome family. So, all right. So, also some sad news. Barbara Bush apparently is close to death or is no longer going to seek treatment for her. She's having some congestive heart failure stuff. She's in her 90s, 92, I think. The news is basically she's just turning down any additional medical help. They think it's time. And I just want to go on the record as saying I think she's awesome. I've made a lot of jokes in the past about how Barbara Bush looks like the Quaker Oats man.
The Quaker Oats, yeah.
That was all, you know, and good fun. Mostly happened in the 80s and 90s. So, you know, whatever. I meant none of it. But she's like, in my opinion, the epitome of an awesome first lady. She was strong and funny and treated her staff like, you know, they were awesome and by all accounts just like the coolest lady ever. And so anyway, feel bad. She feels like, you know, well, not feel bad, but you know, good life, well lived, well done, First Lady Barbara Bush. Barb, as I call her. Barb. No, I don't call her Barb. And then Lee Ermey died yesterday.
R. Lee Ermey, yeah.
Yeah, the...
Don't forget the R.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. The guy was yelling at...
Matthew Modine. I didn't know they stacked shit that high.
Was that Matthew Modine he was yelling at? Or the other guy?
Matthew Modine, yeah.
Who was the one that shot himself, though, in that movie?
D'Onofrio.
No,
D'Onofrio. Kingpin, man. It was a private joker. No, private Butterball. Butterball?
Butterball Yes.
Yeah, Private Joker was Matthew Modine because he was always making jokes.
Yeah.
And Private Butterball was D'Onofrio.
Yeah. No, that's totally right. And he became this iconic thing, the ultimate military sounding guy for movies and stuff. In the
Gomer Pyle. That's right, not Butterball. Gomer Pyle, yes.
He called him Private Pyle.
Called him Gomer Pyle, yep.
Private Pyle, do you see the bad rat? Like, he was just so brutal and so good in that. But that's, I've told you before, that movie just left that thing gave me PTSD, man, that movie.
Yeah. Oh, so rough.
That was hard.
So rough.
Yeah, really hard. But he
more
was
more than
amazing.
Any other. Like, everybody talked about how Platoon affected them, because there was nothing, you know, in our generation, there was nothing prior to Platoon. Obviously, there was stuff like Apocalypse Now and The Deer Hunter and stuff like that to earlier Generation C movies. But Platoon and Full Metal Jacket were kind of our films. And I remember people talking about how Platoon affected them. Not for me, not nearly as much as Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he was also, he had a show on Discovery, I think, where it was like cool military stuff. Like,
and he would read emails and stuff.
Yeah, he'd read letters and emails. It was great.
Yeah.
He'd be in the truck going, we got an email from somewhere. Just whatever. Sit down and give me 20 kind of guy. And he was great. So now a lot
of
people
kind of always played that similar character. I guess he was in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, and he was an actual drill sergeant. So like or a gunnery sergeant. So he knows that was like he was playing a role, but it was kind of him. Mm-hmm. And somebody on Twitter, a bunch of people on Twitter were like, I hated his politics. I'm glad he's dead. And I went, wait, what? I didn't know he had some kind of controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, sure he had his own whatever, but I didn't ever hear any of him. So for all I know, he was just TV and movie man. But
Anyway. Toy Story. He was the little green army dude, the voice of one of the sergeant of the little green army dudes.
And right, he was so good in that.
He was in he was a news announcer on Starship Troopers.
Yeah.
Check this out. He in the Crash Bandicoot game, The Wrath of Cortex.
Yeah.
He did the voice of Wawa, the water elemental.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
I kind of want to go back and play that now. Okay. I kind of like the Crash Bandicoot games.
Yeah, you've said this before. You're a big Bandicoot guy.
I was, yeah.
Yeah. My only problem with Crash Bandicoot is it felt like I was just running in a single direction.
Yeah, well.
All the time.
It was our first temple run, right? I kind of was.
Yeah, it was like it wasn't making you run, but it felt like you kind of had to keep moving all the time. It was like a weird game, but yeah, it has its place. Oh, hey, guess what we have to do?
What do we have to do?
I just realized I do have to use Discord because that's what Dunaway is expecting, well, but that's okay.
He'll be able to hear me, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, he'll hear you. There might be a little more lag than you like, but it'll work. Hold on, everybody.
I'm going to make this work.
This is a what thing else that
happens.
Because, I mean, if it didn't do it on another computer, I'd say, oh, well, it's got to be something local to this machine.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, stuff is weird, man.
Yeah, like, welcome, maybe if I...
Welcome to the world of weird.
It's a world of weird. It's a world of weird.
It's all good, and you'll obsess about it all day and wonder how you're going to fix it. It's going to drive you nuts.
It will. It already has. It completely does. Like, every single time, you know?
I totally get it, man. I totally get it. Well, let's play this. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for a game of, what do we call this? We call it Stump Dunaway. And
yeah, but we should call it something else, because it's Stump Scott and Dunaway.
Yeah, it's kind of changed a bunch, and I don't...
Babel Royale, I think, is the nickname we came up with last week.
Ah.
How do you like that? Job. You like Babel Royale, Dunaway? You like that?
I do. We had discussed that last week, and I believe that is the suggestion.
Okay.
I do like it. Babel Royale.
Okay, Babel Royale. This is good. 100 idiots enter, one leaves. Well, that's great. Welcome to Babel Royale, everybody. It's Brian Dunaway on the line. Hi, Brian. It's nice to see you. I guess we talked to you over the weekend, but it's always good to talk to you. How are you?
Well, thank you for qualifying how happy you are to see me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, listen, you are our one.
I mean, I could be more glad to see you if there was a longer period of time in between the time I saw you last.
Sure.
I see. So you would like a large... Were you looking for more padding? You'd like to have a broader...
I'm just saying that's how you qualified that. So I don't know how to take that. But thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right, we're going to try. Since I have Brian on Skype today, Brian Ibbett on Skype, we're going to see how this works with phone calls. I don't know if it's going to let me add
people. I can hear him. That's good.
Yeah, you can hear Brian. The problem is I don't know if I can add calls to Brian's call with me. Because that used to be a problem, but we're going to find out. We're going to find out the hard way. We're one way or the other. So let's find... And you know what the worst case is, dude? Worst case is if the phone shit doesn't work the way we need it to. Well, hold on. Coin. There we go.
What did you go? Was it a half dollar? What was that?
It's a great big... it's a sample Dave sent me for making some possible Frog Pants challenge coins. So that's a big challenge coin. Nice. So I'll throw that in there.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, we could always say, hey, chat room, one of you, or, you know, have a bunch of people make bets on who's going to win, and then we pick a random name, and then we do it that way, and we send them a prize. I mean, I'm just saying, worst case, we can make that happen. Sure, we'd rather you call in. So if you can call in, that'd be great. 801-285-9395. 801-285-9395 is the number, and you can be a part of today's Babel Royale, where Brian Dunaway will lose and I will win.
Hey.
Wow, that's your prediction already.
Yeah, I'm already.
Oh,
are we gonna
talk about our correction? Or are we gonna just bury that like back page of the newspaper where we?
Oh,
do
we?
Mention...
Oh no! We did this already Wednesday.
About the Monica thing, yeah.
Or Thursday. Okay. Did we do it Thursday? Deal. When did we do it?
We did it Thursday, yeah, because we had the show Wednesday. We figured out that it was a mistake, and we talked about.
Oh,
it. We
right.
Issued our retraction on.
Yeah, just Dunaway, you just weren't here, but we did it. And then, Monica got her just rewards, her just desserts.
Right. And her prizes. She's got her code, and her T-shirt is on her way to her.
Yeah. Which is, oh my gosh, you're so efficient. You've already shipped it?
Oh, come on, man. I try and do it ASAP. Try to.
I try to as well.
Because I want this area clear. Right now, I don't know if you can tell, but I did some rearranging.
Yeah, look at that.
It's still in the process.
Yeah.
But I was kind of inspired by, like, Tom Merritt's background and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And mostly by the Mental Floss background. I really, instead of even any books, I'd like to have just tchotchkes and garbage there behind me. But
I like it. I love the word tchotchke. Oh, my gosh, this is going to let me add them. I can't believe it. Maybe it will. Let's find out. Hi, you're on the air with us. Who's this? Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Oh, it worked.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is Jamie Penny JW in the chat.
Hi, it's nice to have you here. I didn't hear that very well. Did you hear it, Brian? Did you get the name?
I didn't either.
Say it one more time.
It's Jamie.
Jamie?
Jamie. Okay. Hey, Jamie.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. How are you?
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Jamie.
Yes.
Jamie.
Oh, okay.
Good. How are you?
Jamie.
There we go. Penny JW in the chat.
Yes, yes. There you go.
Yeah.
Well done. Penny. Penny JW. Penny.
Yes. But
I don't know what I'm saying. Hey, it's good to have you here. I'm glad we got to test this. It actually freaking worked. I don't understand how that happened. That's why I moved from everything in the first place. Hey, that's good to have you here. We're going to play a little Stump Dunaway. No, it's called Battle Royale. And because we're playing that, Brian Nibbitt has to explain not only the rules, but what rad things you could win.
Oh, you are in such luck today. So here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic, and they're going to go, I don't need to say Dunaway, Scott and Brian. I'm not going to give myself a topic.
No.
I know the topic. You'd cheat if I gave myself the topic.
Jeez.
Scott and Brian will go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or takes too long to come up with an answer, the win goes to the other player. Your job, Jamie, is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you're playing for a copy of Tomb Raider on Steam, courtesy of Brian, aka Sketchy, in the chat room. Quantum Break, courtesy of Tanner Goodman, and a copy of Rust. Wow, that game is a blast, but I think the first thing you always want to do in that game is get some clothes, courtesy of Matthew Bach.
Okay, real quick, by the way, Quantum Break, currently $40 on Steam. Tomb Raider, currently $20 on Steam. This is the one, the first rebootish one from like 2014.
Yeah.
Really good game. And then Rust, you say?
Rust.
Rust is currently $34.99 on Steam.
Wow.
This is
so
a hell of a thing.
Worth of games.
Yeah.
$100 worth of games on Steam today.
This is maybe the biggest video game giveaway we've done, I think. Possibly.
Be. Yeah. And I just kind of picked them randomly. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, before they can start, I'm going to give them their topic, and you can tell me who you think is going to win. Your topic today is Star Trek movie titles.
Ooh.
Star Trek movie titles. There's only been one movie called Star Trek, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that one came out in 2009. I'm not going to take that one.
No.
But all the other ones had additional stuff after the word Star and Trek, and I want you to tell me what they are.
Okay.
So you guys start thinking about that. In the meantime, I'm going to go to Jamie and say, who do you think has got this? Who do you think is going to win this one?
I think I have faith in Scott today, and I'll say
no.
Scott,
good.
Oh, right. That makes me feel good. You gave me a smile when you said that. All right. It's on Scott. Let's
do it.
All
on Scott.
Did we have to flip a coin?
We do have to flip a coin. And, how do I do this? I guess I let the person who doesn't get picked call the call heads or tails. So, Brian, call it in the air, heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads, it is tails.
Oh.
I think you guys are like 1-for-12 on those.
Right.
So, Scott does get to begin with the first one,
okay,
and then we'll go back and forth.
I'm going
to
try to get rid of the ones that seem the hardest in my head to remember or the ones that I think...
Really?
I'm saving...
I was going to go with the easiest first.
Well,
so
normally,
normally
you would, but I'm thinking of more hard ones that I don't think you're going to get at all, and I think overall, and well, maybe that's a bad strategy.
That's a horrible strategy. What am I saying?
I
go ahead, Scott.
All right.
Do the tough ones first.
All right. All right.
Strategy. Yeah.
Here we go, then. We'll just start with the easiest one that pops to my mind. That's Star Trek Generations.
Star Trek Generations, the seventh one, 1994. Correct. All right, Brian Dunaway, over to you.
I'm going to go with Star Trek. Star Trek, the motion picture.
There you go. This one that started it all. And thank God thank God they made one after that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it looked like after after Star Trek the Motion Picture that could have killed the series.
Yeah, it was looking pretty bad. All right, I'm going to just do the next easy one, which is Star Trek 2.
Trek.
The Wrath of Khan.
Correct. All right, we might as well do the first. Right.
Yeah.
So we might as well do the first three. I'm going to go ahead and go The Search for Spock.
Okay.
Good. All right.
I'm going to say Star Trek 4. I always call it the one with the whales, so I need to think.
You need to think of the actual name of it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, The Voyage Home. Voyage Home.
Voyage Home is good correct. Job. 1986.
Okay.
Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. Uh-huh.
All right.
And that's the end of the first four that easy comes to mind. Okay, so
right, you don't have to worry about getting these in order too. And, right. And
okay, well, good. Okay, so I'm gonna go
the number if you don't want to. Just the title.
So just the subtitles, all you need. Okay, so if we forget the number, that's good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally
okay. So I'm gonna go with Nemesis.
Star Trek Nemesis, the 10th one, December 13th, 2002. Yeah, yeah. Very good.
A fine
film. That's the one I try to forget about because
no,
it makes me sad.
No, no. That's a good movie. You guys are all wrong on Nemesis. Go watch it again.
Data
I know.
Is dead.
Okay, listen. The B4 stuff sucks. I'll give you that. It's not good. I don't like the B4 stuff either. But Nemesis, the movie, is pretty freaking good. And Tom Hardy's first film, is he's awesome in it. And he's super skinny. Anyway.
Dead data.
I have a crush on him. I'm going to stay in line with the numbered movies and say the next one would be the worst, as far as I'm concerned, The Final Frontier. It's the one where Spock, Vulcan nerve pinches a horse.
Yes.
And The Final Frontier.
Number five, yeah. Came out in 1989.
Yeah. Bad
Final
movie.
Final Frontier.
Directed by William Shatner.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with the last of the Shatner, The Generations.
Well, that's a good one to say. It's totally true. However, it was the first one Scott said. So.
Oh, was it? Oh,
so
dang
that
it.
Is a repeated answer.
Dang it. You're right.
Woo!
Dang it.
That's right.
And I was even I was writing these down as it was going along, and it is the first on the list, Generations.
You know what's great is that my little weird strategy of obscurity first kind of worked.
It did. You tripped me up, you bastard.
Oh my gosh, because this is good because I'm starting to run out of remembering. I think I would have remembered First Contact and probably Insurrection, but other than that, I would have started struggling.
Beyond that was easy. Into
Yeah. See, but I forget the names of those, and they wouldn't have come to mind. I'm telling you, if you hadn't have flubbed there, you may have had this.
Dang it!
You may have had this.
Undiscovered Country, First Contact, Insurrection, Into Darkness, and Beyond were the only ones you guys had left. So
Undiscovered
well
Country was the one with let's see, that's the one where Michael Dorn played his grandfather. Worf's grandfather is a lawyer.
Undiscovered Country. That's the one with the
floating
Vulcan globules of blood, or Klingon globules of blood in the
That purple blood floating around. That's right.
Yeah,
and it was the Klingon ambassador Goron or whatever his name was is played by the guy that was the devil in Time Bandits. I can't give his name. David Warner.
Warner, right.
And then later, thespian actor, guy that took over for dude in the Baby Driver Man.
Spacey.
Spacey took over for him in
All the Money in the World.
All the Money in the World. What's his name?
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer. Christopher Plummer plays
a... Can you believe I lost at this moron?
Christopher Plummer plays this lawyer, plays the prosecuting lawyer for the Klingon Empire, and he's got this rad, like, metal patch over one eye. Super cool. Right. Undiscovered Country, pretty damn good movie, just saying.
Yeah.
All right, well done. You've won. And all you got to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he'll send you these codes.
Really quickly, though, I already have Tomb Raider on Steam, so if you want to either save that or give it away to someone in the chat, that would be great.
Yeah, we could totally
do that.
Yeah.
There's two games I don't have.
Oh, that's super
sweet
of you.
Well, you'll get the other two, and you're still getting, like, $70 worth of video games without Tomb Raider. So.
And because,
awesome. Well, congratulations.
And because you're so nice,
okay.
Now you got to send me an email, too, scott@frogpants.com, and I will send you a print pack. I just got a fresh bunch of prints. From artwork that includes stuff from me and my daughter Carter. I will send you signed print pack directly to you just because you're nice and forwarded on the what do you call that? You passed it forward. You pushed it forward.
Just paid it forward. Paid it forward.
We can't state anymore because
of Kevin Spacey.
Congratulations. Well done. And we'll see you soon. All right. That very worked cool. out all right.
So we'll give Tomb Raider out at the end of the show to a random person in the chat room. How's that?
Yeah, that's totally fine. Should we do that?
Cool. We'll do that.
Yeah. In fact, we have a bot that lets us pick people at random now.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
But
good
I need
deal.
Wicked Kitten and or MacBook in there to do it. Because I don't remember the code for it. So one of them knows how to do it, and I forget. Anyway, you guys just chat and let me know if there's any problems. If so, we can do it another way. Nice. Dunaway, well done. You did exactly what I had hoped, which was lose that thing real hard. And that makes me happy to be alive. He is the Brian Dunaway on Twitter, which is a place you can go and follow things. The Brian Dunaway. He's also on this little show called Boop, B-O-O-P. It's a video game show I do every Monday. Today at 3:30 Mountain Time, 5:30 Eastern. Me and Brian talking video games. And boy, oh boy, do I have stuff to say today. So,
oh goody!
Wow, What did you play? What are you going to talk about?
I played a lot of Farm Together. No, I
oh did. My god,
I did play. I did play a bunch.
Not that again.
I played a couple of indie titles that tweaked my bean. Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, you can't say that.
I can't say
you
that.
Cannot say that.
I can't. Can I? I feel bad for saying it, and now I'll never say it again. All right.
Hey, Dunaway. Oh, you got a Switch, right? Or is he gone?
He left. He doesn't have a Switch.
Oh, okay. He does not have a Switch.
Does not have a Switch. No. Right. I've been telling him he should get one. Why? Do you have something to recommend?
No. I that was my clever way of finding out if a future Babel Royale could be Areas of Hyrule. Oh. in Breath of the Wild. But I'm glad I didn't do that one, because that would have been a pretty easy one to stump him on.
Did you almost do that today? Was that
I
like...
did. Almost did that today, yeah.
Oh, he would have struggled.
That's right. I have a few of these lined up, so don't worry. I've got... he says he does have a Switch. Well, too late.
Oh, when did
I'm
he
not
get...
going to use that one anymore, Brian.
He told me he hadn't... When did he get a Switch? That's... I don't believe him. That's all bullcrap. I don't buy it. All right. But I do buy is that we have... I just said Dubai. Hold on.
Goodbye.
Oh, news.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's time for the morning news brought to you by...
Justifying poisoning your family with microplastics and chemicals from bottled waters and tap? Want to stop contributing to the floating plastic island in the ocean 2 times bigger than the state of Texas? We have the solution. Go to pnwkangen.com and click on the See Demo button to see what a 50-year-old Japanese technology can do for you and your family and our planet. pnwkangen, K-A-N-G-E-N.com. After that, feel free to shoot me a text or call for more information. Not me personally, but them. Your family deserves this technology and to be healthy. Zero plastic particles and chemicals is always the better option. We don't live in Russia. I promise it will not be too much hassle.
I'm glad we got that part in there. Get a little
absolutely.
Bit of...
Absolutely. Yes, got to sneak a little too much hassle in there.
Yeah, always a thing to do if you can fit it in. Right. Here's some quick stories for you, folks. We only have a few minutes here, but... things went long. Well, you know, we're just late today is all.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Public Hospital apologized after a brain went missing after an autopsy.
Yikes.
So, Brian, imagine I'm killed.
Did Igor take it?
Igor took it. Yeah, big bulging eyes, Igor.
It belonged to somebody named Abby Normal.
I found out yesterday.
Yeah.
This is so funny you brought that up. I found out yesterday that Marty Feldman, who played Igor... Mm-hmm. His eye things that he was so known for, it was like a condition, like a disease thing he had where your eyelids contract and your eyes bulge out. And it was, I forgot what it was called, but there's a name for this. I had no idea. I thought it was just, he looked weird is all. I didn't know it was like based on a problem he had. Let's see. Marty Feldman.
Wow. I assumed it was from a condition.
See, I didn't even think that. I just thought, okay, here it is. His unique eyes were caused by a condition called Graves' disease. It's a type of hypothyroidism, which causes protrusion of the eyeballs. According to a rumor, a car accident at the age of 30 and subsequent corrective plastic surgery made Feldman's eyes appear even more unusual. So he did more to add to it, but yeah, that was the reason his eyes bulged out. So there you go. Mm. Graves' disease. That sounds awful, Graves' disease. Ugh. Nobody
it does.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants Graves' disease. Anyways, so someone lost a brain. That's really all that story is.
an autopsy. Yeah. Brain got lost.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's a Hong Kong thing. You guys should be more careful with your brains over there. North Carolina restaurant serving tarantula-topped burgers. Now, I have to talk about this one because I have to know. Sometimes Brian surprises me with what he will or will not ingest. Brian, would you eat a burger with a cooked, dried-out-looking, nasty tarantula on the on top of the burger?
No, I think I'd have a problem with that. I don't think I could do it. I think, I'm assuming there's a picture here.
Oh, there definitely is a picture.
You need to check. Oh, no, could not do it.
Yeah, big nope on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I'll do, you know, I've eaten crickets and I ate the tail of a scorpion in that lollipop we had a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I just don't like spiders, regardless, dead or alive, there's no freaking way I'm putting that in my mouth.
Chat room is a tarantula is it an anachrid, but not a spider? There was some weird classification whether or not like spiders, but something else. I don't know how that works. There's something to deal with that. But anyway,
That would be the hardest part of being for me being like on Fear Factor or even Survivor. I mean, on Survivor, I might be hungry enough just to say, sure, whatever, I'll eat it, fine.
Yeah.
But I will never, ever appear on Fear Factor in any form whatsoever because they will find the things. I mean, again, I've had some pretty weird things.
Mm-hmm.
But all they have to do is say, all right, this is my Joe Rogan, by the way. All right, what you going to be eating today? You're going to be trying some thickened liquid. Whoever drinks the thickened liquid the fastest is going to move on to sliding their butt down the side of the Luxor.
That was very Rogan-y. You did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, yes.
It says here that this is North Carolina restaurant. They conjured this thing up. It's part of their rotating menu. They have things like rabbit, python, camel. Now they got the spider burger. And this is for real. You can go get it. Customers looking for the chance to chow down on the eight-legged oddity must enter a raffle, and should their number be pulled, are given a mere 48 hours to claim their spot at the spider table. Guess what I would not do? Ever go there again. I'm not even eating at that restaurant anymore, dude. You can't put spiders on food.
Right, you don't want it to actually, like, it's kind of the same thing of, like, we serve peanuts in this kitchen, and you don't want to accidentally get some peanut dust. I don't want any spider dust on my burger from the burger you're making right next to mine that happens to have tarantula on it.
Yeah. Chat room says, it's just a condiment, says the Major Dumperoo, not the burger. I'd try it. I think you're the only one, dude. You're the only one in here who says he'll eat that thing. And by the way, another person asked you, Brian, this is Ikor, says, spider or pig anus? Which would you do? I'd do pig anus because they clean those.
Yeah, I would do pig anus.
It's
yeah.
just like, I mean, it's just meat.
It's cooked, so it's just going to be pork.
Yeah, it's just meat. It's just pork. It's like a tough piece of pork that looks a little like a bunghole.
Chewy pig rectum.
Yeah, it's fine. It's way better than a spider. There's no way in hell I'm eating this. I got to send this to my wife, though. She's going to freak out. In fact, let's do it right now. Where's my wife? Yeah, I'm sending this to her. She's going to be thrilled.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh, my sister talking, sorry. All right. Hey, what else? What else we got here? Oh, yeah, we got more. Check this out. Hold on. Spider won't close.
Okay, now it's closed.
Now it's closed. A pink turtle that breathes through its genitals was added to the endangered species list. I like turtles that breathe through their junk. Yeah,
breathe through its genitals. How does that work? Yeah,
let's see. Well, let's find out.
I like turtles.
Yeah, we know. The Sex Pistols reckon they invented punk in the 1970s, but Australia had its own mohawk-wearing rebels thousands of years before anyone had heard of Johnny Rotten. Fleshy, they call him, with fleshy barbells? Never heard that before. Like spike piercings under its chin, the uncanny ability to breathe through its junk, the Merry River Turtle was thrust into the international spotlight overnight. Let me show you a picture of these guys. Look at this thing. Look at this chat room.
Okay. All right. Let's see.
Oh, that's cool, actually. They have hair. Look at that. Weird.
Huh.
Do you see that?
Pink turtle. Yeah, that is weird.
He's got green punk hair. Anyway, they're about to go extinct, so they're on the list. And
it's really cool, though.
I don't know about you guys.
Like moss or something.
Yeah, it's super weird. Look how it grows out of his eye, kind of by the side of his nose there. That's really weird.
Like a little mustache.
That is something else, man. Look at that thing. I'm fascinated by stuff like this.
Totally.
Here we see. I mean, look at
I mean, is it really hair or is it just the fact that that it just grows moss, like moss collects up there or something?
I guess it says hair, but and it looks like hair, but I but you may be right. I mean, all my hair is moss that grows up there. That's all I got. It's working out great for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's that
cool.
thing.
That's really cool looking. Wow.
I don't know which is the bigger story there, that they breathe through their junk or that they have hair. I don't know. Finally, people are obsessed with Mark Zuckerberg's eyeballs. I don't know if you've seen this, but because of his hearings, he had very tired eyes at those hearings. And he looks a little androidish and lizard man-ish. Yeah. And as a result, everybody, because it's the internet, had a blast making Photoshops of his weird eyes.
oh my God, those are creepy.
Yeah, some of them are super creepy. I don't know why it's so easy. Well, whatever. This is what people do. It's funny because you don't know them, as Homer used to say, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think there's it just doesn't give us a lot of stuff to make fun of, because he sat there and he answered questions and he, you know, retorted back about things like, well, no, I don't know what Democratic groups would have pulled their Facebook pages or anything like that.
Right.
But the fact that all the shots that we have of him, he's just staring straight ahead. Yeah. That feels like the easiest target to kind of make fun of.
Yeah, it feels like easy. It's shooting fish in a barrel.
Right.
As the kids and the kids in 2018 would say. That's your news, everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers, Trek nerd, and more. We have some interesting casting news for Discovery, which is pretty fascinating. So we'll get to that in a minute. But before that, though, Brian brought music, and we going to play it.
That's right. We're going to be playing a band courtesy of, where's the notes? Flower Moon Compilation. So Flower Moon Record Label had a bunch of great stuff that just came out as part of this this collection. We're going to play a couple tracks from this album this week because it's so good. Oh, my gosh. So good. This is a guy, Morgan Nagler, who worked with Jenny Lewis. He actually appeared on the show's Punky Brewster and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Great.
And was a friend of Allison Hannigan's in American Pie 2, if you remember American Pie 2. Anyway, he formed the band Whispertown in 2000. And he's toured and performed with Bright Eyes and She and Him with Zooey Deschanel, M. Ward, The Elected, and Jenny Lewis of Rilo Kiley has said that he is her favorite songwriter, period. Again, this comes from that Friends and Family Volume 1, courtesy of Flower Moon Records. Here is Never Felt Young.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I you're a city slicker like Ann Foster, you come from Waterloo, Iowa. You learned fast and wanted to read your newspaper in half, to order Danish, not sweet rolls, to almost like cardboard coffee. But this you do hold on to. Every woman needs to be herself at times. Your answer? Baking. Baking good, baking often with gold medal flour. Little kitchen, true. Strange oven, also true.
Whoopty shit, I don't care.
This is the Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
All right, we're back. Oh, we're back, everybody. Our long national nightmare ends now.
That was a quick song.
It was super quick, yeah. That's all right, yeah, though. Worked out sweet, well today.
Super sweet song, yeah.
Means we're right on time. All right, we're going to try to add someone to this call and see if it works now, because this didn't used to work. Oh, it's totally going to work.
Did we, I guess we've been pulling Schleicher in via Skype anyway.
Yeah, he was already here, so, because we didn't have a choice or something. I don't remember what the deal was, but all I know is this. He has a theme song, and I'm about to play it, so hold on to your butts. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. One, Stephen Schleicher, all the way from Hayes, Kansas. Hello, Stephen.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Brian. You guys get enough morning to eat?
Did we get enough?
Brian, are you staying hydrated?
Yeah.
I am staying hydrated. I've got my Call of Duty coffee right here and enjoying it. Why do you ask?
I'm just making sure. You know, got to make sure everybody's doing well.
Plus, we have this Monday bot. We have this weird bot in the chat room that reminds me to drink every once in a while.
Oh, seriously? Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Where is it? Maybe I only see it.
It says, Frog Pants, go take a drink.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Stay hydrated, bot says. Frog Pants. And then there's bottle icon. You've been live for just 1 hour.
Why you're asking, huh?
Yeah, it says you've been live for just over an hour. It says, by the point in your broadcast, you should have consumed at least 4 ounces or 120 milliliters of water to maintain optimum hydration. I get this once in a while, so there you go. You guys all see it? Okay, I couldn't tell because it's a different colored text.
No, I think it's just you, Scott.
And they're all saying they see it, too. Let's see. Yeah, if you scroll up, you'll see it. Stay _ hydrated _ bot is the one talking to me. It feels like Nintendo telling me to go outside after a while. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, whatever. Hey, it's good to have you here, Steven. Let's dive into the world of pop culture, news, comics, and more from majorspoilers.com. And we begin today by asking the question, when did comics peak? And I've never really thought about this, but I think they did. I have a theory, but
there's a couple of ways that we can look at this, right? I mean, certainly we can look at the fact that comics as a whole and graphic novels, digital, everything is a $1 billion a year industry now. But if you go back to 1992, over $30 million was spent on Superman number 75 in 1 month. And that's not accounting for all of the rest of the comics that were bought in that month. And do you know why Superman number 75 sold $30 million in comics that month?
Is that the one when he died?
That is the death of Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
over the course, and I mean, people, the after effect of this was that people were just buying everything off the shelves. A year later, in 93, when we had Action Comics number 500 hit stands, over 48 million comics, individual issues, were sold in that month that Superman returned in Action Comics number 500. 3 million copies alone just for Action Comics number 500.
We have never, ever seen those numbers since then, have we?
No, never. I mean, people talk about the giant size X-Men selling 1 million copies. Action Comics number 500 blew all of that out of the water.
Yeah, and
by a long shot.
Also, this was... the fervor was crazy then, because this was right around the time Image started. McFarlane and his boys all bolted from Marvel and started their own thing. And, you know, that stuff was bona fide money-making business.
I was going to say, the interesting thing is, leading up to the death of Superman, DC was in third place. Image Comics was, I think, second place at this time, with Marvel coming in at number one. After that, DC was able to take the top spot for almost a year in comics distribution during that time period. Also, interestingly, when we look at that Superman number 75, by the time Action Comics 500 came around a year later, in April of 1993, most of the comic shops, well, I shouldn't say a lot, most, a lot of the comic shops that had made very good business off of Superman 75 were out of business by this time. Oh. This was the crash of comics in the 90s.
Man, I don't like this. I don't like this because this doesn't seem, I mean, what? So it's weird because you could actually argue that now we're peaking in terms of the culture of
right.
what comics have become. The movies and that stuff, I mean, there's no denying it's this monster thing. But yet, the books are probably never going to see this again, are they? Probably. I mean...
Well, we don't know, because here's the thing. This week, almost 35 years to the day, is that how much it is? I've got to do my math again. I think almost 35 years to the day, we get Action Comics number 1,000 hitting stores this week.
Whoa.
So at coming out April 15th is when Adventures of Superman, or the Action Comics number 500, hit stores. Mm-hmm. And now we hit issue 1,000, which is a huge milestone. There is no comic book that has ever hit the 1,000 mark. And so people today, our age, I did a kind of a random poll this week on the Major Spoilers website saying, hey, did you guys line up for the death of Superman? And most of them were like, I was a year old at the time, you old man. So for old people, we get to see, you know, a time period where we get to see a comic book hit issue 500 and hit issue 1,000 mm-hmm. in a 35-year time span. It's fantastic.
Wow. Yeah, wow, that's a lot. I mean, 1,000. That's a lot, dude. I mean, aren't there more than that, though? Like, if you went back and you'd go, all right,
there's
well,
probably actually a little less.
Oh, less than that. Oh, all right.
Probably a little bit.
Why wouldn't there? Why would there? Because the way I look at it is, like, if we look at all the episodes of TMS, you could count all the actual numbered episodes, but then there's these weird offshoot, like one-off nerdtacular thing or whatever. Yeah.
And you can't, you know, you got to figure all the side comics, all the other Superman comics that have been out there that aren't Action Comics or Superman, right? That you know, Jimmy Olsen is kind of a Superman comic book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those aren't counting towards the, you know, the Action Comics 1000. The reason why it can be more or less, and it depends on who's keeping track of stuff. It's kind of the same way as last week, or is it this week, Captain America 700 hits, and then we've got Spider-Man 800. You got to remember, sometimes Action Comics would stop publishing for a while, then they'd come back under a different name, or in the case of the New 52, it started over from issue number one and started moving forward, and then they said, oh, we're going to change back to the old numbering system. So in that time period, people kind of forget or don't keep track of where everything falls. But if DC wants to make April 15th, or in this case April 18th, the release of Action Comics number 1000 and say it's the 1000th issue, I think that's a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm. How
do you feel about the New 52 experiment now that it's all behind us? It feels like, so we ended up getting that during TMS's run. Like during TMS's run, there were episodes where you came on and explained what this New 52 idea was. And then they did it, and now it's not even a thing. So did that not work for them? Did it not? I mean, what was the lessons learned, or what did we get out of that, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, that's a pretty complex question. So was it a success? Absolutely, it was a success from the financial standpoint, or the bottom line for DC Comics. They made a lot of money. They sold a lot of books during that time. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, it gave people a chance, and this is the nice thing about new number ones, is it gives people a chance to feel like they're getting in on a ground floor. That's why Marvel is so crazy about releasing new number ones every couple of months, because they know that number ones mean something to people so that they will go and buy them. In hindsight, the storyline got really convoluted now that we have Rebirth, and we're trying to figure out where did this new 52 fit in with all the rest of the storylines, and does continuity matter or not matter? So it does get very confusing in that sense. But when we think about the multiverse, all the different universes of DC Comics out there, it does kind of make sense. And we did get some great runs. I mean, Grant Morrison's run on Action Comics is brilliant. If anyone has read that, it is definitely worth checking out. We got the Greg Rucka's Wonder Woman run, which was fantastic. We got Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo on Batman.
Yeah,
those are really big, important comics that really had a big impact on creating a new level of superstar as far as comic readership goes.
Yeah.
So from those standpoints, I think is a success. Losing Superman's trunks and only going, you know, trunkless in the weird costume, probably not a success.
All right.
You know, there were a lot of older fans who were upset and walked away from DC because of this.
Yeah.
And some of that is still being felt throughout the industry.
Sure.
So good or bad, I would say there's more good in what the New 52 did than bad. Some people may not like the New 52, but there was a lot of new readers that came on board because of that.
Yeah, and they sold well, and that's good. And again, like the Snyder-Capullo partnership is one that endures and is still a pretty formidable combo there at DC. They keep making rad work. So I'm for that alone, I'm happy the New 52 happened and that they were picked to do the Batman run. So anyway, it's just interesting though, because it just felt like, oh, it's a complete flip of the of their business. Like, here's where start. Yeah. And this is, you know, we're all new all the time. And then I guess that, I mean, I'd like to know the thinking behind it, you know, like did they decide, ooh, maybe we've gone too far, let's pull back some. So did they walk it back, or was this always the plan to just sort of have this splashy thing and then go back to normal, you know?
It's hard to say, you know, what was planned and what wasn't planned, because, you know, if it's a success, everyone says, oh, well, we planned this for years and years and years.
Yeah.
If it was a complete failure, they'll just blame somebody for it. But you've never seen anybody point blame at this.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that, you know, the New 52 evolved out of Flashpoint, which evolved out of this crazy story that Geoff Johns was telling over in Flash, it really was something that had to have been a couple of years in the planning. It wasn't something that one day Dan DiDio and Jim Lee woke up and said, hey, let's just shake this whole thing up and throw everything out, because they know that there's history behind these characters that have been around for 80 years in the case of Superman.
Yeah.
So they know that they just can't throw it all out and say, we're starting over from scratch. That being said, Action Comics number 1000 will kick off a brand new Superman story that starts over from scratch, just like John Byrne did after the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Brian Michael Bendis will be doing that starting in May, but for the next 4 weeks, we will be getting a bunch of Superman one-shots that people may also want to check out.
All right, well, watch for that. Certainly coverage will happen over there at majorspoilers.com.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Action Comics number 1000 this week on the Major Spoilers podcast. We'll record that Tuesday night for a Wednesday morning release, so if anyone's interested in what's in that book, they can certainly go pick it up Wednesday morning and follow along with us. It's an $8 comic, but it's also a super-sized comic.
Mm.
So if people are worried about price and they're keeping things under budget, realize that you're not just getting 22 pages of comics. I think it's an 80-page giant, so there's plenty of stories in that book.
So it's larger, but also... Is it larger format too, like tabloid size or something?
I don't remember if they're doing it tabloid size. I do have the review copy sitting here that DC sent me over the weekend.
Yeah.
But all I know is it's got the bigger page count. I don't know if it's an actual physical magazine size or larger.
All right. Well, if you're looking for a little Superman in your life, looks like they got you covered.
Yeah.
Coming soon. All right. That's all awesome. Anything else happening over there that you want to tell people about before we go?
Check out Critical Hit, Dungeons Dragons podcast that we've been doing. It's been a lot of fun. Also, if you are into Lovecraftian horror, Dr. Bradley Will and I have been playing the Arkham Horror Living Card Game, which is really incredible and really a lot of fun for people who are into games that tell a very complex story. That's on Munchkin Land. Our fourth chapter of that comes out tomorrow as well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, do check that out, everybody. Steven Schleicher, Major Spoilers on Twitter and majorspoilers.com. We'll see you.
Stay hydrated.
Are you, Steven?
It's better than Hail Hydra, I guess. Hail hydrated.
I guess, yeah.
Excellent. Well, that went well. So far, so good here. Maybe you don't have to change ISPs. Maybe you just use this for TMS again. I don't know.
We'll see. I'm going to look into, when the show's over, look into a VPN too. So.
Oh, yeah. Let's go full VPN. Ida Bloke knows that stuff. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
Who knows things.
I'll be the bloke.
Let's get Daryl in here. He comes in via phone number because he's weird.
That's right. So it doesn't even matter what we use with him.
Well, we have to use Skype because I don't have a number for anything else. But yes, it is true. We're going to bring him in and make stuff happen with him. And it goes a little something like him picking up. Come on, Daryl, pick up that phone. It's ringing.
Sorry, the person you are trying to reach does not have a valid voice mailbox on our system.
Oh,
wow. Goodbye.
Oh, jeez. That's it?
Jeez, I hope he's not putting all of his stuff into a box right now.
Yeah, Daryl, you didn't get pink slipped out of there today, did you? Let's try that again. It's the only number I have, so he's... I don't know what his deal is. Let's try this again. Yeah, it was very terse. Good.
Yeah.
Oh, hi. Dude, there it we went go. To some voicemail Ooh. That said you don't exist on their system. What's that about?
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Somebody could go... You know what? I'm actually going to play it so you can hear it. Check this out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can hear it, yeah.
Yeah, I think your voicemail might be broken. You may want to let IT know. Give IT a call. Have him come up there and fix that thing. Anyway, it's Daryl, and it's this.
Hello, and welcome to Star Trek Adventure.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
It is. It's Daryl Skeels here for the Trek Nerd segment of the show. Daryl, how are you?
I am great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, we should get right into it. There's some big casting news for Star Trek Discovery. Do you want to tell us about that? What's going on?
Yes, I do, and I need to bring my notes up because I do not have them up.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great. That's good. Well, Ann, she told us earlier in the week about...
We didn't spring this show on you, Daryl. Yeah. You've known about it for a while.
You said something earlier last week about Anson Mount. Can you tell me who Anson Mount is?
Well, it's not a new thing to ride in World of Warcraft. He's playing the new... What am I saying? The new... Take two. He's playing Captain Pike.
Oh, in Discovery.
Yes, Discovery.
Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of him, chat. He's a handsome man.
Oh, he was Black Bolt in the Inhumans.
Oh, really?
The Marvel. I know a lot of people didn't see him because a lot of people stayed away from that show for good reason. Mm. But he was Black Bolt.
All right, there he is. He looks Pike-ish. I think he works.
Right, I think.
Sure. Oh yeah, here he is in the.
I hang my TV on the wall using an Anson mount.
Well, that's fantastic. It's my favorite sex position is the Anson mount. big fan. Big fan of the Anson mount.
That was a popular one on Happy Days, anyway.
It was pretty good. He looks like a guy who could play Pike. I think I'm down with this. Is it confirmed? He's definitely in.
He is, yep.
All right.
And they started filming just today.
Oh, my gosh.
So he's in there making stuff.
I saw a video naked...
He's piking right now.
Yeah, he's all piking. I saw a video of a upper naked... Well, naked from the... He had no shirt on. What's his name? Jones. Doug Jones. Shaving his head. Yeah, he says, we start filming. And then he takes out a thing, goes... And starts shaving his head. I guess he has to shave it to get all that makeup on.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that's cool. Well, that's good news that they're just, here we go. We're going in. We got more Star Trek to do. That makes me happy. That's all good. Now, there was one other bit of casting news, and that was, where did it go?
Chief Engineer.
Don't you feel like you wish it was Bruce Greenwood playing Captain Pike? I just felt like he's been the best Captain Pike.
He's a great Captain Pike, but it would be the wrong age because they're 10 years before Kirk here, and he's getting old. But I like Bruce Greenwood a lot.
Yeah.
Also a pretty good Batman voice when you need him. He does a pretty good job. He's a stand-in for what's his name when he's not around. So here it is. Star Trek Discovery recruits comedian Tig Notaro. She has that show One Mississippi on Hulu. Where is it? Somewhere like that. And she's the stand-up comedian famous for getting a breast cancer, a very advanced breast cancer. Some cancer. And she went on stage the day she found out and delivered like this crazy stand up that just became kind of legend in comedy circles. Anyway, she's awesome. She makes me laugh and I like her style a lot. She's super deadpan and really interesting. And One Mississippi is a pretty good show, by the way, if you ever get a chance to watch it. It's a funny little kind of quiet kind of comedy thing. But anyway, she is going to guest star in a role. We don't know what that role is yet. Oh, no, it does say here, Chief Engineer Denise Reno of the USS Hiawatha. So she'll be an engineer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
What do you think of that? Yeah. Well, you like that, Daryl? You think that'll be cool?
We don't know what that involves, but sure.
Yeah, I like
her. You know, the engineering department could use some comedy, so I'm glad. I like this. I wholeheartedly support this decision to have a comedian as a
will she
Star Trek engineer.
Yeah, go ahead.
I've always wanted somebody like that, because in every workplace, there's some funny guy.
Yeah.
Right.
So that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd be down with it. I wish that she was an alien, though. I'm bummed because she has kind
maybe,
of...
Maybe she will be.
Well, I don't know. Denise Reno? It's kind of boring human name, but maybe.
Well, that's true.
Maybe. Yeah. But if she does, it's smart because she's kind of weird looking.
My 2 million Andorans named Denise. Denise the Andoran.
Yeah, Denise is like, it's like Janice. It's like, you know,
right, yeah.
Works in accounting.
Yeah, good point. I mean, Tink is a perfect, like, why not use that name for the show?
I agree. Plus, she's so tall and lanky and alien looking. This is a real opportunity here, and they blew it if they're not doing that. But anyway, whatever. I like her. She's great. Yeah. And we'll see her join All Access soon. Daryl, any other big happenings going on? I didn't see if you sent me anything.
Lots of things.
Oh, tell me then. Lay them on me.
Well, a lot of people are asking who's going to play Spock because we found the Enterprise. And, well, Spock's there. But he's not the first officer. It's number one who was played by Majel Barrett. Roddenberry.
Oh, wait. On the Enterprise with Pike?
Yeah.
Well, who's going to play her is the bigger question. That's what I want to know.
That is the bigger question.
Yeah. They can't. Majel Barrett is, she's dead. She doesn't live.
No. Right. Yeah.
Plus, she's like 1,000 years old and she died. So, wait a minute, though. So, if
did she outlive Mr. Hom, by the way?
I like to think his race lived forever. You know, like they were like 1,000-year-old guys. But hold on, let's think about this for a second. This is the state of that ship back when they were fighting the big brain people, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't even really thought about that. That's kind of cool. So Spock is on that ship. We've seen Spock in flashbacks, but he was young.
Little kid, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? You can't bring Zachary Quinto in there necessarily.
No.
Does Quinto have a brother? Spock Quinto. Anyway, well, we'll see. We don't know who that's going to be. What else do we know about that stuff? Anything else?
Oh, we don't know more about the casting for now. Yeah. But Discovery was nominated for a Peabody Award.
And that's this little car, the Mr. Peabody, the cartoon dog. Is that the deal?
Award that you have to travel back in time with Sherman to go retrieve.
Gosh, Mr. Peabody, I don't think we can go. Quiet, you.
Shut up, Sherman.
Shut up, you piece of shit. Oh, damn it. Hold on.
Pick up your coin and tap something with
there
it.
There we go. So, Daryl, so that's cool. Peabody, what is that actually? Who wins those? Just science fiction things? Is that the deal with that?
Oh, lots of different stuff, but there's one just for the entertainment category. To honor the most powerful, enlightening, and invigorating stories in television, radio, and digital stuff.
Oh, yeah. So they're honoring Carol Burnett for her Career Achievement Award, and they're honoring a whole bunch. Yeah, you're right. So it's like tons of stuff, looks like. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and the other nominees in there, well, I don't think Trek is going to win, but there's Better Call Saul, Handmaid's Tale, and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Oh, those are all good. Those are all things I like.
Mm-hmm. I think Handmaids might get it.
Probably, yeah. I hear that the start of that new season's real strong. Heard good things. Is it already out?
That's the one that influenced pilots to fly into the towers on 9/11, right?
Star Wars. That's the
No, wait, it was Star Wars where the pilots flew between that thing.
Yeah.
A couple of things.
Annoys me so much. I freaking hate that.
Yes.
Margaret
Atwood, what are you thinking?
So let's see. Right here on New Zealand's on Seasons on Hulu. I guess it hasn't started yet, but the reviews are really strong for the new Handmaid's season. And they say it's they're now beyond the book, and that has made it more interesting. I already really like season one, so I'm very happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, good luck to them. May their Peabodies be frequent and multiple. Anything else, Daryl?
And for that camera, in the backyard, use a 10 milliwatt laser pointer and you will fry the camera.
I love it. They wouldn't even have to set it up permanently. They could just walk out there.
I didn't realize you could do that.
Is that one of the green ones?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. I may have to talk to them. But then they'll get in trouble, though, for burning it up, right? I mean...
They should just get a black bodysuit, go out there in the middle of the night and go, and then zert.
There's no way they would know what blew it up. And then they'll get another one and put it up and blow that one up too.
All right. Because they won't know unless they hear the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they better not be listening.
So here's the...
I love it. Oh, my God. I love
here's
it.
Here's what they'll do. Tonight, you'll hear this sound across the neighborhood.
Zert.
And that'll be the end of it. They'll just kill that camera. Yeah. Done. All right. Well, Daryl, thanks for that good advice. I knew you'd have some thoughts on this security camera thing, as always, and great thoughts on Star Trek stuff. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com, a fine podcast all about Star Trek, and follow him on Twitter at TheTrekNerd. Daryl, have a fantastic rest of your thing, and get your voicemail fixed. Something's wrong with it.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Ga, ga, ga. Jeez. All right.
Ga, ga, ga.
Yeah. All right, Brian. On that note...
Yes.
We had a mashup. Why didn't I pull it? Uh-oh.
Oh.
Hold on. Let's see if we can find it.
Find it! We have a mash!
We have a mash. Here it is. Wait. Is it like a little mini mash? Oh, it's a mini one of me.
Is it a monster mash?
Apparently this is me pronouncing things wrong. Great.
Oh, good.
Great.
Oh, my gosh. This has potential to be the longest mashup we've ever done.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this, but here it is. Coming up on TMA is, shit, Christian numerologists, Mong Kok.
Mong Kok.
it's Mandarin for mein Kok. Piss. Shit. Right. Poop. Kit Kat. Chocolatia.
Chocolatia.
Poop. Lick. Pick. Tick. Loop. Durban. Pietersmartisberg. Der Kunste Vagina. Fixing Lisi Fockett. Lisi Fockett's. Jeez, Scott. Dime Thiopoly Poly Saxon name.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And here might surprise you.
What?
Martin Ferris Cooper. Scuba Googie.
Nailed it.
Anyway, this was unidentified bouts of acute abdominal pain. Dinesh Shivnath Upadhyaya.
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 Sudich Gutch Zertling. Rachad Asapik Episek. Soy 7.
Sure.
Well, shit. That was a pretty good one.
Well, it's just all one from one episode, right? That's just...
Yeah, probably. It's probably just before the first song, as far as I know.
Might be one of my favorites.
Embarrassing. All right. That's going to do it for today's show, everybody. We should give away the Tomb Raider and also let people know they can suggest show titles. One of the mods in the chat will now tell you how to do that. That's the whole bang-ass, is that what we call it? Bang?
Right. Bang-ass.
And then you submit a show title for today's show, and at the end of the show, we will pick it, frogpants.showbot.tv. We'll do that after the song, so stick around live, folks, and we'll pick a title for the show. Also, Brian, tell me about Soundography, something going on. What's going on?
That's right. So last week was Kanye West. This week, Reba McEntire. How about that for... shifting gears pretty rapidly. Yeah, we listened to close to 30 Reba McEntire albums.
Oh my Lord. Dude, that is some sacrifice
that's
for
some
you.
Some dedication right there. And yeah. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tease. What did we think about Reba McEntire?
Mm.
Here's a hint.
Mm.
Did not like it. So you can actually, you know, it's a breath of fresh air for people who say, oh, you like everything you guys listen to. You know, if you listen to everybody's catalog, you find the things you like and the things you don't like. I'm going to say, I had a hard time finding things I liked about Reba McEntire's music. I'm sad to say that I couldn't find much I liked. So
she makes a fine, kernel, but yeah, not so much in the music department.
That's right. Exactly. So that's going to be over there at soundography.com. Show just went up this morning, so go check it out. It is soundography.com.
Very nice. Go to frogpants.com/TMS for links to everything we do. You can support us there with our Patreon. You can find our email address. You can find our Twitter accounts. All of it's right there at frogpants.com/TMS. It's going to do it. Brian, will you please give us a musical out-go thing? I can't talk. Let's just make a song. Got a song?
Musical outlook go.
Yep.
That'll be on a future one. David Ronan said, I find myself at a time, tune out, Bob Peterson. I find myself at a time where a lot is falling apart and there's much uncertainty about my future. Despite this, I work hard to push forward and keep my chin up. I know that everyone has their own stuff they're going through, so I wanted to share a song that makes me happy and has a message for all those people out there hoping for something more. Someday, we'll find it. This is a request for any time there's a gap because somebody always has something going on. Kermit the Frog, though, signed David.
No.
If there weren't enough hints in that email about what song we're playing, it is a cover of Rainbow Connection. We've actually played this version before, but because it helps David and probably helps other people who listen to this, I kind of like the idea of playing it again. She included this out. Z Avi included this on her album Z Avi's Nightlight back in 2014. And it might be, I think it's my favorite version of the song. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I like this version a lot. 2014, Z Avi's Nightlight, song originally done, of course, by Kermit the Frog, written by Paul Williams. Here it is, The Rainbow Connection.
Oh, we'll see you guys tomorrow for another episode of TMS. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you then.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that wishes would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Someone thought of that, and someone believed it, and look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? What do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know it's probably magic. Have you been sleeping? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, the lovers, the dreamers, the lovers, the dreamers, the lovers. The dreamers.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Get off the toilet!